Hi, everyone. Welcome to Levels, Disheveled Edition. I am just popping on here. I'm Jeremy Long. Disheveled. Joined as always by the Sportsnista, Cassandra Cousineau. And you know what? We have a really fun show. We're going to talk some fights. This is what we do. And then in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Angela Hill, UFC strawweight. Longtime fixture in the UFC and everything. Very exciting coming off a fight of the night performance. You know, a couple of months back anyway. But, you know, a lot of good stuff happened this weekend. We saw a great UFC. I think it was a pretty damn good card from top to bottom. And some interesting bits of news, including a new nickname for Brian Caraway, which may be Felony. He's going to take over for Charles Bennett and have a new nickname and everything. So, Cece, what's going on? How are you?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, that was definitely a surprise story considering the items in question that have gone missing.
Some items have disappeared. Brian Caraway, who is better known as at one time was the Mr. Misha Tate, a longtime partner of Misha Tate, Cupcake, of course, the UFC champion and everything. But he's in a little bit of trouble. He's been charged with four felonies stemming from a 2018 case involving the alleged theft of an ATV vehicle, an all-terrain vehicle, belonging to, his former girlfriend, Misha Tate, and everything. So he's been charged.
How do you make off with a whole-ass ATV?
People do it all the time, right? But he's being charged with fraud, first-degree theft, filing a false insurance claim, and making a false statement on a vehicle title in Benton County, which is in Washington. So all kinds of trouble there for Mr. Caraway. And, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but it – four felonies. When they charge you with things like insurance fraud and things like that, you was doing something.
There was a misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. Yeah, you cannot, try to file for a title, a property that doesn't belong to you. Now, I'm no attorney or nothing, but I'm just assuming that that shit is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So here's basically the case summed up, right? apparently, Caraway stole the ATV, bought insurance on the vehicle, and then claimed it was stolen 3 days later after Misha had reclaimed the ATV. So, you know. So there's some stuff happening there. Yeah, so
relationships, man, relationships. Stuff can get a little bit messy, I suppose. But yeah, they're gonna have to work that out. Well, you know, hey.
Yeah, we're gonna have to stay on top.
They got paperwork for that. They got paperwork for all that.
The rest of the situation there. We did see a really fun UFC card this weekend. What'd you think about that main event? Your guy, Usman. Yeah, you know, we thought fighting the former training partner in Gilbert Burns showed a lot of respect there. But in the end, another one up, another one down.
You know what? Kamaru Usman is a real beast. And one thing that I think, you know, small thing which turns into a big thing for him is how patient he is and how well he is able to adjust during a fight. You know, they came in with the game plan for certain, but you know, he got hit early, got rocked. He did say he was expecting, you know, Gilbert to have heavy hands and like those loopy punches. But he's been training with Justin Gaethje, someone who does hit incredibly hard as well. So, but the fact that he was able to make those adjustments in the fight and just come out and just look so composed and dominant. The other thing is, you know, the coaches knew him well. He had something new for him, like had that jab looking like a straight right. That's some scary stuff if you're a welterweight.
Yeah, you know, it's extremely scary, especially given the fact that Usman seems like you were alluding there, he seems like he's still evolving. You know, it was in the beginning, he was.
Come on, everybody. So Jeremy's going to be back in just one second, and I believe our guest showed up. And there we go. There's one. Hey, that's Jeremy. Hey,
What happened?
is now did our guest arrive as well, or is that you?
Not yet. I don't know. She might have right when I got lost there. That's never happened to me before here.
Yeah, that's
And I
surprising.
was making a point about something, but he Usman was evolving, strictly as a wrestler, and then all of a sudden, he starts banging with guys, standing up and putting guys away, with in emphatic statements for that welterweight division, extends his streak to 13 wins with pretty impressive company there, passing up a lot of guys, tying a lot of guys, and I think only what Anderson Silva at 16 is the record that all the guys are shooting for, but I mean, GSP and the rest of them right there.
He's a problem. He's such a problem that you gotta, a handful of welterweights, like none of them want to fight because that next fight is probably gonna be Usman. So, nobody wants to fight Leon Edwards. Yeah, Kobe talking a whole lot of smack. Kobe doing Kobe things, primarily. And Masvidal looks like he's gonna be the next guy up, whether it's gonna be with the next iteration of Tough or something else. But that's just a money fight. The issue I have is the champ should be like fighting like real contenders, and I just don't see Masvidal as being the next guy, and he gets a rematch. But hey, it's the fight business, and the dollars gotta make sense.
The dollar's got to make sense, but do you really see that fight going any differently than the way the first fight went? I personally don't see it. I mean, Masvidal, of course, has a puncher's chance in anything. I mean, the guy has unreal power and everything like that. But beyond that, personally, I don't see it, especially when we've seen the growth by leaps and bounds from one, our Usman, the champion, and everything.
Y'all better stop sleeping on Usman. Stop doing it. Speaking of sleeping on,
You
looks like
gotta
we got a
stop. You
guest at the
gotta stop.
door.
Well, we are going to be joined now here by longtime UFC fighter. It's amazing how we talk about Angela Hill, and we talk about her all the time. She's one of our favorite fighters to discuss here on the show because she always puts in those fight of the night worthy fights anytime she steps into the octagon. But she's still amazingly young at 36. She's spry and everything. So it's hard to believe, when you look back and see how long she's actually been in the fight game, it seems like she should be at least, X, years old. I'm not going to say an age because I don't want to get kicked in the head. But you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying. She's been
she
around
will kick
for
you
a
in the
long
head.
time, and she's been doing it at a high level for a long time,
Yeah.
and she still has so much left to do in her career and everything. So it's really fun. It's really amazing to welcome her to the show here. I know she's getting ready. I'm giving her a second before we pull her up there. But no, she's smiling. I think she's ready to go. So without further ado, there she is. Oh, yeah. How are you, Angela?
Yo. I'm good. I'm
Hey.
good. How are
Well,
you
good for
guys?
you. You're doing great, trying to stay warm like most of the country.
It's like 50 degrees, right? We complain about staying warm. It's like, Yeah, we're like at 60 over here in San Diego, so it's fine.
oh,
Yeah, we
man.
have nothing to complain about.
You got all the problems in
Getting
San
off.
Diego. Yeah, but
Yeah.
I didn't move to a desert to deal with the cold, and so I don't understand what the hell's going on in Vegas. But
For
thank you so much for taking time out and joining us. We really do appreciate it. We know you're busy and everything, but we want
you
to
got a lot
just
of jobs, I see. I'm trying to stay busy, it's been a while since I had a fight book, so I'm just trying to keep sane and keep busy and keep chugging along with my training. So yeah, I've been able to do that so far.
Well, how first off, how are you feeling, post COVID and all of that mess?
COVID didn't hit me too bad. Me and my husband both got it, and one of my teammates who was also gonna fight on the same card, Dwight Grant. So we all pretty much got sick a couple days and then recovered. So I think a lot of people kind of have that story where they think they got COVID, but they got better so fast that they never got checked up.
I just happened to get it the weekend before I flew out to the UFCs for my fight. So it sucks because the timing was horrible. It's like, if it was a week before, I would have recovered and been able to fight still, or at least like my test would have come up negative at that point. If it was like a week after, then I wouldn't have to worry about it because I would have already fought. So it just sucks. But I'm happy I have my health, obviously. And, I've just heard a lot of horror stories. I haven't had anyone close to me die from it, but I have had friends who got like super sick and had lingering symptoms and just took forever to recover. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful that I was able to bounce back. And as soon as my test started coming up negative, I got back in the gym and started training again. So right now I'm feeling pretty good.
Most people assume that fighters are like hyper focused on just fighting, but you have an interesting journey to MMA. How do you go from having an art degree to professionally kicking people in the face?
It was pretty easy, actually. when I graduated college, that was right when we hit the recession. So a lot of the jobs in my field weren't available because either people who were working there, like seniors who were working, not seniors, but the people with the senior status who were working in the positions that I would be getting if I were like an entry-level animator or entry-level graphic designer or whatever, they were sticking around in their job. No one was really getting hired. No one was expanding their companies. Everyone was just trying to hold on to the little bit that they had. Yeah. So the job market kind of got stilted, especially for anyone in the arts and working in the arts field. And I was doing Muay Thai at the time just to stay in shape and just to, like, you know, do something a little fun and active, since I was spending like 16-hour days working on animation projects and stuff. So that was a really fun outlet for me. And the studio that I was working at the time went under, and they laid off everyone. And I had already had a couple fights at that point. So I was like, you know what, let me just keep bartending. I was bartending as well. Let me just go back to bartending and doing personal training. And that's paying more than my animation job. So I just went with that. And I was really passionate about fighting at the time too. So I kept fighting. I kept winning. I started knocking girls out. And when they announced that UFC was going to bring in a weight class that was close to mine, I was fighting at 110. But UFC was bringing in a 115-pound weight class. When that happened, I was like, let me see what happens if I show up to this tryout. And I ended up getting on top. So that was kind of my journey from being an artist to being a martial artist.
Look, Jeremy, when the recession hit, right, I was doing Pilates, and then I learned HTML. There would be no way I would
make that. Well, you know, I mean, I can see the transition there between, you know, martial arts and art and everything, because art is pain, man. Art is love.
Yeah.
You know, it's passion and everything else. It's because, you know, I mean, I'm not that I paint. My daughter paints and everything, but I do more of the creative side. And you know, almost every day at the end of the day, no matter what I've created or failed to create that day, I do want to punch someone in the head.
Yeah, so. Muay Thai was definitely a good outlet for me when I was still doing art. Like, I would go in there and, like, there'd be a guy there telling me stuff to do or not giving me credit for something I spent all day on. I'm like, fuck that guy. And then I go punch the bag and feel better about it before I had to wake up and do it all over again. So it was definitely like a good outlet for my 9-to-5. I suggest anyone who has a 9-to-5 or an office job or anything like that to go punch something after work, because it'll keep you from punching your coworkers.
You know, right, punching your coworkers, unless your coworkers punch back in an octagon, you know, they got a different set of paperwork for you.
Yeah, but that's fine though.
Well, you've done so much. And like I alluded to when we introduced you, it's hard to believe that, I mean, you've been a UFC fixture for years and years now, but you're still so incredibly young. So it's like, you know, you would think like, oh, and you look younger than the age would indicate too. So congrats on that. You know, definitely using
push.
such. But, you know, you've done so much. You had so many accomplishments and everything. Do you, at this point in your career, do you consider yourself a role model to young women, to young fighters, to that next generation?
I've had to accept that I'm a role model. I think a lot of times, especially being a fighter, a lot of times they're like, oh, we're just punching people in the face. Like, we're not inspiring children like we shouldn't be, you know? but I think because it makes me so happy, because doing this thing that I didn't think I would ever do, you know, like five or six years ago, when I was still just a Muay Thai fighter, I was still like, you know what? I don't think I would ever be able to do MMA. And then before being a Muay Thai fighter, I was like, you know, I don't think I could ever like do anything where I'm getting hurt or getting punched in the face. Like, I actually said that when I thought about doing karate, like as a kid, you know, so it's weird to just have this sudden surge of bravery and just the, be able to like take my curiosity to the next level and actually like try something new and get to this level after just trying it, after just being curious about it and wondering if I'd be any good at it or wondering if I'd like it. And then being able to get to the highest level and, you know, I should be top 10, but, but soon to be top 10, like, you know, hopefully one day be champion. Of one of the greatest weight classes in the UFC. Like, it's crazy to think that I've gotten this far just off of a hunch, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's cool to be able to inspire other fighters and other women and, you know, other people. Just like, you don't think that you'd be able to do something, but you don't realize how tough you are. And I feel like a lot of people have reached out to me and just said, you know, I when I saw you fighting, I was like, man, I decided to take that leap, or I decided to do something else that I was passionate about that I knew wasn't going to make me any money, but I was really into it at the time. And, you know, like, my mom's always given me that kind of push, that drive to try something that makes me happy, even if I wasn't sure how successful I could be at it or how much money I'd make at it. She's always pushed me to just do some stuff that made me happy. And that was just her wisdom rubbing off on me. And then luckily it ended up working out. But I think in the end, anyone who follows their heart is going to end up happy in some way, even if they don't like, you know, even if they don't get recognition or even if like no one else is pushing them to do it. I think as long as they're happy doing it, then they're going to be happy in life in general. So I'm hoping, I think that's like people, when they hear my story, like the fact that I started Muay Thai when I was 24 and the fact that, you know, I was able to get this far with it in such a short amount of time. I think a lot of people are inspired by that part of my story, especially.
We are talking with the number 11 ranked UFC strawweight in the world, Angela Hill.
I'm 11 now, cool.
Yeah, that's yeah, the reason why. It must have just come out, right? I think the ranks came out yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. I stopped paying attention. I get so angry when I look at it sometimes that I just had to like stop paying attention to it.
Well, you are definitely climbing and UFC is paying attention to you. You've been one of the athletes that they have spotlighted during their Black History Month promotion as a Black athlete, as an African-American athlete who has contributed to mixed martial arts. What do you think is your greatest contribution to the promotion so far? And what's still left to do? I have a feeling I know what's still left to do for you, but I want to let you tell you.
Yeah, the champion, man. I want to be champion. I know I can do it. I know I'm as good and better than the girls who have done it before. And it's just a matter of drive. It's a matter of believing in myself. And it's a matter of just honing in on those skills that I'm still a little funky with, that I still could that I still could work on to become a better fighter. And I have the determination to do it. You know, I have the skills and I just have that like workhorse mentality when it comes to learning something new. And that's why I felt like I gravitated towards animation, because it was all about doing something over and over and over again until you get a product that looks really cool. And that's what I've always been. That's like what I've always brought to the table whenever I try something new. And, you know, I think one of the big things that I brought to the UFC, and it wasn't something that I sought out to do, but it just kind of fell in my lap because of circumstance, but just being first African-American female to be signed in the UFC, like I honestly thought there were more in there by the time I got there. Like Jermaine the Random, he was fighting still or already. And I was like, oh yeah, she's really cool. She's a kickboxer. Like I know, like looking up to her, like I know like I can do it too if she's in there doing it and fixing her mistakes and still grinding. And then like when I was told that I was first African-American woman, I was like, oh, cool. You know, like a pioneer. So that's always been cool for me to like know that, yeah, people are looking up to me. I think I went to one of the tough tryouts a few years after my show aired, and a couple black women came up to me and they were like, hey, we saw you on Tough. It's so cool that you're here. Like I was there with a couple of my teammates and they're like, man, it was so cool seeing you on the show. And it's awesome that you're here. And like, that just like warmed my heart to know that someone seeing me on this stage made them take the jump, or maybe not made them, but encouraged them to take the jump and do something where they might not have thought they could actually be successful. So that's always awesome. And, you know, it's hard not to root for the black girl when I see her, because I'm just like, man, I really want more, more, you know, people from my community to be in MMA, to be in the UFC. I think we have a lot to bring to the table. And, you know, it's just good for the sport when everyone's involved. And I think there is a lack of representation when it comes to black women in the sport. And I think we're getting there slowly but surely. So, I think that's one of the things I bring to the table when it comes to being part of the roster. Not the only thing, but one of the things.
Well, you get me. Like, I told you the brief story that my daughter is always watching and rooting for you. She has an LOL doll, and it's called like Foxy something, and it's got this really badass afro. And she fighting it with Roman Reigns, with her brother's Roman Reigns action figure. And she's like, okay. Angie Hill.
Nice. I love it.
People, young people are definitely watching.
Yay, great. Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, I know we got the ones around here that parrot everything I do. So, and it doesn't really, you know, the crazy thing is, I mean, you know, you are in the position you are in, you have a celebrity and you have a following, whether you like it or not. And you know, most fighters would say like, hey, I didn't sign up to necessarily be a mentor or you know, put on this pedestal. I'm just here to fight and this is what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how much, you know, whenever you're, you know, doing things, whether positive or negative, you know, how much influence that has over people, especially the little people that tend to hang around us from time to time.
You're like, in our day
and everything. You know, given where this last you know, year or so has brought our country, and especially in the last 4 years with you know, the president that we have, whatever politics you are, out there, if you're watching and everything.
Yeah, motherfucking gone. I said it.
All right.
I just watched him blow up the building today in Vegas.
Oh, did you watch that?
Yeah, just
saw. Yeah, that's so cool. Man, I watched it too.
Oh man, that was funny.
But given all of that, is there any, you know, more added pressure for being a woman of color in the position that you're in an organization, in a sport, really, that is just like you said, has a lack of representation as far as at the different levels, not just fighters, but even at the matchmaking levels, promotion levels, and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like, I want to be successful so bad, you know? And if anything, it makes me work harder. It makes me grind when I just start feeling sick of it, or when I just start feeling like it's not getting anywhere. I still show up to training the next day and still work through whatever funk that I'm in mentally. And it helps. It definitely helps. I think it would be hard if I didn't think about that part of it, if I didn't think about, you know, being a role model. And there's like that meme that you always see where it's like, you never know who's watching you. And like that rings in my head a lot because, you know, it's not that I've ever fallen out of love with the sport, but there are times where I'm just like, man, is any of this worth it? Like, am I doing any, like, what's the point of all of this? I'm killing myself in the gym. I'm killing myself, you know, running every day, working out, like being stressed out about internet trolls, like attacking me, getting mad at me for like acknowledging that I'm Black. And, you know, a lot of times you wonder if it's all worth it. But then when I hear stuff like stories like your daughter or stories like, you know, someone will send me a video of their kids watching me fight and just like, you know, getting all into it and rooting for me. And it's just, it really is inspiring. And like, even though I don't want to sound too sanctimonious, but like, we're entertainers for a reason. Like, it helps. It helps get through times like this where there's nothing to focus on but bad news, you know, like there's nothing to focus on but bad news, but the pandemic, but people dying. Like, you have this one release where you can watch someone fight and like there's no politics in it or anything. You're just watching people fight and you're rooting for the person you want to root for. And that, just having that release is really important. I feel like nowadays, just having some sort of entertainment or something to look forward to, something to watch, it gets people, it allows people to escape from whatever like annoying things they have to deal with in their real lives. So so it is nice to be able to provide a face for like a, you know, an underrepresented demographic like Black women. Like, you don't see us that much anywhere until recently after like Black Lives Matters movements, you know, in the summertime. Like, then you're like seeing, oh, diversity, but you didn't see it before, you know. So it's like I hope that that trend continues and that you still see diversity when you know, when Black people stop trending, yeah, when people's rights stop trending, I hope you still see that diversity. But I'm happy to be a part of it and happy to, like, you know, just provide a face for people who do feel underrepresented. So it's always nice. Like, it's a huge weight and it's hard. It's really hard, but it, like, I always look at the positives of having that weight on my shoulders and knowing that like I'm serving some sort of purpose. And even if I don't feel it every day, like every now and then someone will hit me up and remind me that what I'm doing is good stuff.
It's absolutely great stuff. I mean, the fight game is such a peculiar thing anyway. Mm-hmm. You never really know, you know, what's gonna be around the next mm-hmm. corner. But you got one of the most interesting, fascinating backstories I've ever heard. There is not a fighter alive who actually can talk about a real life extraterrestrial experience. Someone in your family actually is connected with alien abduction. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the only thing that sucks is that I never got to meet my grandfather, but my grandfather, Barney Hill, Barney Hill Jr.? Yeah, Barney Hill Jr., he was abducted by aliens in the 60s. And this became like a really famous story, Barney and Betty Hill. Betty was she wasn't related to us by blood, but it was my grandfather's second wife. So Barney and Betty Hill got abducted by aliens in the 60s. And then it became this huge deal because they didn't remember anything, but they started having nightmares. And then they both got hypnotized like maybe a few months later. And they were able to pull out repressed memories of the abduction and them being taken into the ship and being experimented on. And they wrote a book about it. They released the hypnosis tapes. It was just like this huge like thing. And it was in the 60s. So like, yeah, the fact that it became this really, really popular story, it was pretty cool. Like I guess they were celebrities. Celebrities in the UFO world.
Oh my colleague.
is there any fear that it skips a generation and maybe one day you're in the octagon and just they take Angela Hill.
How epic would that be?
That beat down on.
It would be like I finally finish a fight, right? Is title fight and I finished it. No judges involved. And then all of a sudden you hear burr, 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 and the fucking purple UFO drops down on top of the octagon. That would be my luck. Now I definitely thought about it, like especially when I was in college, I did a lot of research on it for a project, and it was making me super paranoid. Like I started looking over my shoulder at night and you know, making sure like the doors were all the way shut when I go to sleep. And I just read some crazy stories of like people getting pulled out of their bed and out of the window into a spacecraft, and like cops seeing it from down the street, and just like all these like insane stories about abductions. And it just drove me crazy. So I feel like if it's real, I don't really want to know.
I understand. But, you know, I feel sorry for the aliens who pick up an MMA fighter. And then they get that alien ass whooped, you know.
Yeah.
And well, there's all the charges against you and everything.
Well, we always expected to go like that scene in Independence Day, right? Where like Will Smith
opens to Earth.
Yeah, exactly. So if the aliens are like that, then I'm cool. I'm set.
Yeah. That's funny, man. You know, speaking of aliens with, you know, these kind of things, no, there's no way to segue from way. So I have no idea what I was going to say.
I think I know where you're going, but it was not a bad segue.
So, you know, kind of weird things. But so a couple of weeks ago, a very popular sports personality named Stephen A. Smith, you know, let his opinions, and that's what he gets paid for. That's what the man gets paid for, his hot takes and his opinions. He had a certain opinion about women in general fighting and, you know, the things that he likes to see in cages and things he doesn't like to see. You know, at this point, number one, you know, what do you make of comments by guys like Stephen A. Smith, who, you know, in 2021 still kind of come off with this misogynistic kind of viewpoint as far as women in sports? And even today or yesterday, I believe ESPN released a poster of the greatest athletes of all time, and who people, you know, they put it up on Twitter, like, who do you think the greatest athlete of all time? Who is the GOAT? And it was all men. And Simone Biles retweeted, was like, you couldn't find one woman? What do you make of these? And this is coming from the, you know, one of the top voices in sports and in sports coverage.
I just think we still need more time. I think it's still, MMA is still, oh my God, get out of here. Get. Adam, can you get the dog? He's knocking shit over.
He heard those comments.
He's mad.
He don't like Stephen A. Smith.
He's so mad. I think my dog could beat up Stephen A. Smith, and he's only 25 pounds.
Come on, man. Did you see his mitt work? Come on.
Yeah. I think that Clarissa Shields said it best. She said that men who have that opinion about female fighters are insecure. And that's basically what it is. They're insecure and they don't like the idea of a woman that can beat them up. And, you know, that's not our problem. That's not our problem. It's a them problem. It's a Stephen A. Smith problem, and it's whoever has that opinion. And I know that he's paid to like make hot takes or whatever, but he's catering to a group of people who also believe in those same ideas. So it sucks to have someone at that level just trying to reinforce that way of thinking that we've been getting rid of gradually since Ronda came in, since Nunes, since Holly, since all these women who proved like, hey, we're just as good as the guys. We are just as skilled. Our fights are just as compelling. It's a sport, you know, like it's not like, and I don't know where he came off talking about like men fighting women. Like I saw that one freak show fight last year, but like, it was like, Nobody, like, that was nothing. That was like some, it rarely happens. So I don't know where he got off talking about that for so long. And I think most people agree they don't want to see women fighting men. I think the reason he was so stuck on that, because he's like, what if a woman tries to fight me and I lose? You know? So,
yeah. So, you know, like, he's been watching. Listen, you are on the same platform. He has seen plenty of women fighting at a professional level. So he shouldn't be surprised that there is a woman out there who can get with him.
Yeah. But at the same time, he's had hot takes about the male fights too. So it just goes to show that he doesn't know what he's looking at. He's someone's loud uncle at a cookout watching tapes who's already had like a few drinks and they think they know everything. Like that's who he is.
Yep. Got on slippers and socks.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I didn't take his comments too seriously, but it is fun to make fun of, you know. It's always fun to, like, don't throw stones when you live in a glass house is what they always say. So it's always fun to kind of pick on people who do hot takes like that. But I honestly, like, I know the type who thinks that type of thing, and he was just showing, like, his opinion is that type of person's opinion.
Yeah, especially, yeah, look, man, don't say anything if you can't even throw a straight right hand, you know.
Yeah,
just move on. Just say it's not for you.
Don't put the pad work video out
there. Don't release those videos.
You'd
be better off putting up a twerking video or doing a Junebug challenge or something.
Hey,
like that. You'd be much better off doing it.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna do any of those challenges? Actually,
I did the silhouette challenge.
I did see that. I don't
feel comfortable doing like dance challenges because I can't really dance. So
I've seen a lot of TikTokers who can't dance either. That don't stop people.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the point, right? It's like they just like
cheat and pretend. You got it.
It's dancing for 30 seconds at a time. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. It's that long. But I like if I do a TikTok, I have like a few TikToks on my TikTok page. But if I do one, I try to make it funny and like not normal.
There was
not
the fun normal one you had of like in the water or something, or like you had water coming out of your mouth or something or another like that. And you're like, you said something like, you know, I'm just putting this out there in case the judges.
Oh, yeah. it was my sexy corner sit. Yeah. I was like, next time I go to the corner in between rounds, I'm going to like pour water on my face, like, and like swing my hair around. And yeah,
A veiled shot at all the Instagram models / fighters out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm going to give CC the last little bit with you, but thank you so much. We are so honored that you made time for us. And you know, coming off that, I know it was in September, but that incredible fight of the night you had with Michelle, we can't wait to see you back in and doing your thing. Who's up next for Overkill?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'll fight anyone. I'm ready for him. I'll fight anyone.
Stephen A. Smith.
Who?
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, I'll fight him. But actually, no, I won't fight him because he doesn't want to see men fighting women.
He lost out.
He fight women. Yeah, any of the top 10 strawweights. I wanted to fight Tisha. I think she's still ranked under top 10, or maybe she's back in the top 10. But I wanted to fight Tisha. I still want to. I know she's looking for an opponent and she keeps denying me. She's like, I want top 10 and I'm 11 now. So it's like, maybe she'll do that. Maybe she'll make a compromise. But any of those girls can get it. I'm ready.
I was checking out real quick to see exactly where Tisha is. I think she might be like 9.
9, okay. Yeah, she wants to move up, but she just fought a girl
eight.
Who's
eight. She's 8.
Oh, okay.
Michelle is 9.
Michelle's name. And, you know, it's just so frustrating because, like, both Michelle and Claudia said, oh, Angela should be top 10 after we fought. And, you know, the ranking people don't listen to that. And I just have to finish him like that. And it sucks knowing that and going into a fight knowing, like, if I don't finish this person, then I have no idea whether the fight that I won is going to be scored for me. But at the same time, it makes my training more intense, and it makes me look for the finish more in training than I normally do. Normally, I just try to put on a clinic in the striking department, but now I'm looking for finishes more, and I've been doing that since September. And I've always known how to with the grappling, but I'm just trying to cinch that up as well. So yeah, it's just lighting a fire under my ass. Hopefully it'll make me a more dominant fighter in the long run, having all these robberies. Because really, if you look at the history of, like, dominant fighters, most of them are finishers. Like, if you go to decision all the time, eventually someone's going to snatch that decision away from you, and then you lose your streak. So if I can become a finisher, then that will be just good for me.
I'm working on it. Last fight was in Abu Dhabi. Do you want to fight in Apex again? Do you like that 25-foot cage for what you're looking to do?
I do. And my last two fights were in – oh, wait, no. My last fight was in Apex. The one before that was Florida. But I think they both had the small cage. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 25. No, I like, might have been bigger, but 25 and Apex are certain.
Okay. Yeah. So I like the small cage. I don't mind it. Some people call it the grappler's cage, but I feel like I'm really good against the fence. I'm good at getting people in clinch. And if they get me against the fence, then I know I'm not going to get taken down, or at least I'm going to pop up pretty fast. So I like the small cage just for those reasons. So gives them less room to run, and I can cut them off and beat them up.
So final question before we let you go is, I see on Instagram you're really good with your hands. I mean, you can drive things. I see you baking Santa Claus pancakes and gingerbread houses and putting furniture and things together. What else you got going on for 2021? I'm loving the podcast actually with Karen as well.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. We're going to go in on that. I have a podcast with my husband, but we're so lazy with it. Like, we've had it for like a year and a half and only put out like 20 episodes. So the one, at least Karen's like lit a fire under my ass, and we've been pretty consistent with that. So I'm excited about that podcast for sure. What happened was, and hoping to get back in the ESPN desk soon too, and break down some more fights. So I really enjoy doing that. I feel like I learn a lot as a fighter as well. When I look at these fighters' fights and break them down and figure out what's going well and isn't. So yeah, hoping to do that. And man, I don't know. That's a dog stuff, house stuff. Yeah. That's about it. Training.
There you go, man. Just, you know, using those hands.
Yeah, trying to get off.
Well, Angela, again, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you coming up. No matter what you do, we know you're going to succeed and be successful. Go check out her new podcast with Karen Bryant. What Had Happened Was, you can check it out. And apparently, you know, it lit a fire in her ass. So hopefully she gets another one going with her husband. Updated once every 6 months. You know, we saw it. So, you know, hopefully we see it. And we can't wait to talk to you again soon. And see, you know, hopefully it's coming off of a victory where you move solidly into the top 10 and we're talking title contention.
Hell yeah. I'm excited for the future. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
I get it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
There you go. Angela Hill. So, I mean, incredible, man. We say it, you know, she is one of those fighters that we talk about all the time on the show, because anytime her fight comes up, man, you know, that's contention for fight of the night right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, really great stuff, man. So really excited that she stopped in. Thanks, Alan, Mike, you guys for for stopping in. And Angela even left us a little note here in the back. Thank you so much. So we appreciate her time for the folks helping us set all that up. So, you know, pretty much, man. I mean, we got some. How about this? You posted, I know, on a number of our channels about all the fights, boxing, and, you know, we saw Comey come back, man, you know, and kind of regain some of his steam with a well-won victory there in the world of boxing after dropping his title to Teofimo Lopez a short time ago. What'd you make of this week's action? You know, past action.
A weird thing with Richard Comey, because, you know, before he lost the title to Teofimo, you know, he had that title eliminated. It was a title fight with Ray Beltran. And that was 3 years ago. I think about how much has changed on the boxing landscape in 3 years. I mean, Lomo fan, you know, in that division, and now there's some young men on the landscape. Another young-ish man coming up in Adrian Broner, about to get back to work as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of boxing going on, but we're not seeing something that is like, you know, what's the fight that fans really want? Is that showing up anytime soon? I guess you got Fury and Joshua on the horizon. But other than that, we've got some good fights. Nothing that's just like, you know, something fantastic that fans just have been waiting for. And that's, you know, kind of my whole issue with UFC and boxing. When you're a combat sports fan, like, UFC keep giving you the fights that you want to see. It keep happening.
They know One Direction. I will tell Dana White and company, they know One Direction. We go ahead, you know. You know, but it's crazy when you kind of have that stock, you know. You don't really have to negotiate with other promotions and things because we've seen, you know, the fallout of what happened with Canelo and DAZN and, you know, Golden Boy. Now we're seeing the pushback. Teofimo's giving Top Rank, saying he's not going to fight old boy for chump change. He wants a raise. And shouldn't he deserve a raise, you know? I mean, because he has all the belts. If you have all the belts, you have all the leverage, right? Yeah, you're the guy they want to see. So, you know, excuse me, you're seeing that. And then you're also seeing, again, the back and forth between Joshua and Fury, and is it going to happen, and when's it going to happen, and the money, and blah, blah. The boxing is so splintered that, you know, it's crazy because the lead up to the fight is part of the event. It's like, will this fight ever happen? It was like 3 or 4 years in the making for Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. And then the fight was underwhelming, you know, because it was 4 years past when people wanted to see it. You know, people still paid a lot of money to see it.
Yeah.
But it was really past the point it was like meant really as much as it could have.
Yeah.
MMA is not like that, especially in the UFC. Michael Chandler coming over, you know, so now we're starting to really answer those questions. How would a longtime Bellator champion do fighting the toughest of the tough in UFC and everything else? Mm-hmm. You know, we're starting to see that because in MMA, it's – I mean, we even saw a trade a couple of years ago. Yes. We saw a trade between promotions in MMA. You never see that anywhere.
Never.
Can you imagine Top Rank and Golden Boy trading fighters? Like, I'll give you this guy, two of them.
I gave you Sean Porter for Terrence Crawford.
Right. Give me some of that and throw in a ham sandwich and we're good.
You know? It's bananas. We do have Oscar Valdez and Burchell coming up. That is going to be a very telling fight. I really like Oscar Valdez. He's also a very good kid, works hard. I don't think he's been the same since that Scott Quigg fight, though, and what they put him through to actually finish that fight. I just don't think he's been the same. And Burchell is going to be it's going to be a problem for him. But you know what I was thinking the other day, though? It's like Oscar has actually been training with Reynoso long enough now for us to see what that's about.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, this his fight coming up is going to tell a lot of things about, you know, his journey and what he has left to offer the sport, and, you know, how he's evolved or if he's evolved. And we're also, you mentioned a little bit earlier, Adrian Broner and everything about, I almost called him Adrian Brody, the actor. Adrian Broner, how much does he have left? I mean, we're not talking title fights and everything, but the guy who was about billions is now just kind of hanging on for some, you know, fights that, yeah, he's going to get paid a little bit of money, but is
he
the
out of just the money? Court.
Is the fan base still there that even cares to see this guy fight anymore? You know, yeah. Or is he just going to kind of hang on and collect some checks until he pays off whatever debt he has? So,
did you remember? Did you see that video of him talking to the judge?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, he's like, she's like, well, where are you getting this money on Instagram to floss with? And he's like, well, I have wealthy friends. Well, who are your friends? He said Al Heyman. Who was the other one he said?
Did he say Eddie Hearn?
No. It was a boxer. Tank.
Yeah, Tank. Sorry, yeah.
Javonte Davis. And I'm sure they're both sitting there like, no, you put my name in court documents.
Oh, I ain't co-signing a loan for you.
What the hell? I don't want nobody coming around.
Like that? Are you out of your mind? Oh, good. It's funny.
You have to go back, and you know, you're gonna have to break off, you know, a little bit for that court case that he's got to clear up there. But you know, it's funny. Boxing seemed to be more popping outside of the ring.
Hey, I'm telling you, most of boxing is the build up to the actual any kind of fight or anything, man. So, yeah. You know, and of course, a sadder note is that our friend of the show, Jamel Herring, his fight has once again been called off with Carl Frampton because Frampton, has a hand injury or something like that. I'm talking about a guy who's just starting to. I think Jamel Herring stays in training camp because every time he gets close to a fight, it gets called off, and then he gets rebooked. I think they've been rebooked for late March or sometime in March, maybe.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're hoping for that. You remember, he's got to go out the country for that fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so, he's asking a lot. We remember his wife, he's just trying to get this over with.
Yeah, he's a really great guy and a proud champion and everything. So, hate that for him, but you know, it's a big money fight, and so you want to see it happen. Hopefully it does happen. But, you know, my man, he's got about 46 weeks of training camp under his belt.
Yeah,
so.
You know, like this is for certain. But, you know, and he's a classy guy. I saw him on social media today saying I'm not going to kick a man when he's down. And, you know, that's cool.
And, of course, ladies card, the all-ladies card is
yes.
On the horizon too. I can't wait, man. You know, maybe we'll try to, you know, look, if you guys are just tuning in, we've had an impressive run. Go look at our new website. Hey, look, I'll throw this up here real quick. You can see the run we've been on over the last few weeks. You go right here, levelshow.com. You can see all, man, I was so happy to see. I mean, Clarissa Shields, Franchon Cruz and Michaela Mayer and all this, you know, and we got to get Ebony back on because, you know, we love talking to her all the time. But, I mean, just an impressive run. And I'm just doing that. I'm just patting us both on the back here.
Look, there's
just way to pat you on the back. Pat me on the back.
There's levels to this.
And Ralph, too.
Ask somebody. Ralph in Miami Beach.
Ralph in Miami, come on.
You're out there about the call.
Some people have all the horrible luck, and it's got to be Ralph in Miami Beach. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Thank you so much to Angela Hill for making time to talk to us. We really appreciate you guys sharing Levels. Facebook page, go to our website, check out the past interviews and everything. There's some really good ones on there. And Alan Snell and you guys, we appreciate all y'all's love and everything. So until next time, we will see you later. I'm Jeremy Long. She's the Sportsnista. Wait, there you go. She's the Sportsnista. And we'll talk to you later, guys.